So glad you could join us on Cranford Radio. My name is Bernie Wagenblast, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, the new police chief, I guess I can still say new, Ryan Greco. Chief Greco, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to give you the interview, Bernie.
Well, as I said, new, I guess new is relative. How long has it been since you've put on the chief's bars?
October of 2017. So we're settling in. We're getting moving along.
You're a guy who grew up in Cranford, correct?
That's correct. Lifelong resident, product of the school system, you know, Walnut School, Livingston School, Hillside Avenue, Cranford High School, Union County College. So I've made the world tour of schools in Cranford.
When you finished school, did you go right into the police force or did you do something in between?
No, so I had graduated from Kane University in May of 99, and by July of 99, I was in the police academy.
So this was something that you had your eyes set on from what point? When did you decide that you wanted to become a police officer or go into law enforcement?
I don't know exactly when I made the decision, but I do recall always going into my guidance counselor, Mr. Kingston, at Cranford High School and having all of a two-minute conversation and leaving because he knew exactly what I wanted to do.
That time where you went into the police academy, who was chief then and what was it like going into the academy?
So I have actually an alternate route candidate. So alternate route is, you know, you get accepted. There was 10 of us in that class amongst, I believe, 50 other recruits. And the alternate route program is you pay your own way through. So, you don't have the ability to have a job, basically like a free agent in baseball. So, you know, when police departments were hiring during that time, they would come in and interview us. I was lucky enough to land in my hometown of Cranford.
Tell me a little bit about what you've done on the force before you were appointed as chief.
Patrol and investigations, pretty much split right down the middle, 10 years in patrol, 10 years in investigations as a detective and a supervisor.
And when you talk about investigations, being a detective, you know, I guess everybody has this image of what a detective is like, but probably the reality, as with most things, is a little bit different from what the fantasy is. Tell me a little bit about that kind of work.
So everybody probably has the image of Danny from Blue Bloods as the main detective out there today. You know, in Cranford, we are a very safe community, but, you know, obviously some urban areas around us. So a lot of the caseload in the Detective Bureau is, unfortunately, is identity thefts and frauds with some occasionally a bank robbery mixed in. But, you know, the fantasy is a lot more paper than hitting the pavement.
And again, as with any job, you go into a job and you have your own ideas of what it's going to be like, and then reality hits and you find out that those initial ideas may not always be 100% accurate. What have been some of the surprises that you've seen in your time in law enforcement from what maybe you initially envisioned?
You have a plan to change the world when you enter law enforcement. You know, you watch TV and as a young patrolman, you think you're going to be chasing bad guys all the time. And then, you know, as you mature in law enforcement, you realize there's a psychological side of it. It's a lot more personalities. You're somewhat of a social worker. You're, as a young patrolman at 24 years old, you are going to houses and trying to solve people's problems who are maybe double your age, you know, whether it's a family dispute or, you know, the loss of a loved one. So, especially in a community like this, it is a lot more communication-based law enforcement.
And sort of in line with that last question, what are some of the things that you've learned, some of the lessons that you've learned as a police officer that now inform what you're doing as a police chief?
You know, when I first went into the Detective Bureau, you would go into an interview and you would want to pound your fist on that table and say, you did it, you did it, you did it. Not always getting those results from the person you were interviewing. It was with experience and maturity that it's best to listen and talk to people. And you're going to get the most out of it if you're an excellent communicator.
I want to go back again. We were talking about growing up in Cranford. Tell me a little bit about what you were like as a kid. Were you involved with sports? What activities were you involved with? Those kinds of things.
I was big into sports, Cranford Baseball League, basketball, football. That was where you spent your weekends. And it's come full circle because I spend my weekends on the softball field with my two daughters. So, you know, the baseball league, it's such a big part of the community. You could see it every weekend. All these fields are jammed with kids. But definitely athletics growing up.
Like you, I grew up in Cranford. I'm a bit older than you, so I've seen a little bit more in terms of how the town has changed. But in terms of some of the changes that you've seen, particularly from a law enforcement perspective, you, I think, alluded to that a little bit, that we're surrounded by urban areas, and obviously there is not a hard border that people can easily come in and out of Cranford from anywhere. What are some of the changes that you've observed as a police officer?
I mean, the town in general has really taken off. I remember being on my bicycle as an 8-year-old, and you were either going to Pizza House or the drawing board to go look at baseball cards. But now downtown is thriving. It's great. In law enforcement, maybe the population has changed. You know, we Cranford has become such a place to live that, you know, it seems like every weekend there's some type of community event here that we're dealing with, and with community events, you know, that comes with a lot of planning. Unfortunate, the state of the world, where, you know, a simple street festival, where you come downtown to grab a slice of pizza, soda, check out some vendors, there is hours upon hours of planning on the law enforcement end to make sure that those people are safe. And they don't always see that. We try to do it very discreetly, but it is one of our main focuses in law enforcement to make sure that people can visit our community and make that they're safe.
When it comes to your new role as the police chief in Cranford, anybody goes into that position with their own ideas of some things that they wanted to do. I think people who have been looking at some of the changes, one of the more obvious ones is community policing, something that you've heavily promoted. Tell me a little bit more about community policing and what that involves.
We do have a very, very young department, 25 guys under with less than 5 years on. So generational, you know, sometimes we have issues, you know, relating to those generations. But community policing is very important. I think it is something where if officers get out of the car just to stop at a lemonade stand and talk to the kids, that could impact them forever, that officer was friendly and I can go speak to that officer in a non-confrontational manner. You know, in the age of social media, where sometimes law enforcement hasn't looked greatly upon, you know, we do our best to show what our officers doing are in a natural environment. You know, they do stop at lemonade stands. They are, you know, picking up dogs from people, trying to return them to their owner. And I think that they should be recognized for things like that. As simple as, you know, I know that Matt Cecil a couple of weeks ago there was a deceased squirrel in the roadway with the kids staring at it. Well, he made it into something that the kids, turned into a life experience for the kids. He was able to maybe, not that a kid's that age would look down upon police officers, but maybe enforce that relationship for years to come.
One of the things that you did just a few weeks back was Coffee with a Cop. What was that?
Coffee with a Cop is a real simple idea. It's a nationwide idea, and with many coffee establishments in our town, Track 5, Starbucks, and Mr. J's, who was kind enough to sponsor the event. It is a simple discussion where you could walk in and just have, you know, express your ideas, your concerns. Maybe a person doesn't have the time to stop at police headquarters to learn about programming, but when they're popping in for their daily coffee, which we all do, that's the perfect time to grab a cop's ear or talk to a cop and engage him in a conversation that maybe he or she would have never have done.
What are some of the other plans that you have in mind for the police department?
So obviously community policing is my big initiative. I dedicated two officers, without adding any manpower. We just kind of moved some people around and freed up some people. We want to make sure that we can bring programming to such people as, those in the community that might suffer from Alzheimer's, dementia, maybe a special needs child, that in the near future we're going to try to promote a registry. So if somebody calls and maybe their loved one went missing because of one of these conditions, that we as law enforcement are, you know, ahead of the curve with photos, pedigree information, where the person might visit. So, you know, we have a database in-house that hopefully we can get their loved one back to them quick, in a very quick manner.
Another one of the initiatives that's received some media attention has been the relationship between the police department and the Cranford Public Schools. Obviously, things that are going on elsewhere in the country do have an impact on what's happening in Cranford. Tell me a little bit about how you're working with the public school system.
Obviously, I have two children in the school system, 7 and 9 years old, Walnut and Livingston School. Major concern just as a parent, not as a law enforcement officer. It is very sad what we see every day on TV. Myself and Dr. Rubin have a great working relationship. We don't even refer to each other as titles. It's Scott to Ryan or Ryan to Scott. With his staff and members of my staff, we were able to attend every PTA meeting for each individual schools and tell them what we plan on doing without giving away the secrets of how we respond to these type of incidents, and then also hear their concerns. We had the Department of Education in recently to do a full audit on the schools, and Scott and I, with members of our team, have sat down and have started to formulate a plan on how we can better protect our school and the children that go there.
You just made reference to your two daughters who go to Walnut and Livingston Avenue schools. Tell me a little bit about your family.
My wife and I we both went to the Cougar Cub program at the high school when we were 3 and 4 years old. Didn't really know each other, reconnected over the years, well out of college. My wife's great-great-grandfather is a former mayor of Cranford back in 1897, so our roots go very far back in this town. Actually, the bridge that was replaced many years ago on Springfield Avenue used to be called the Beetle Bridge, which is their family name, the Beetles. So Ed Beetle was her great-great-grandfather, again, mayor in 1897. Still on the wall today in the municipal building.
Well, we've been talking with Police Chief Ryan Greco. Chief Greco, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
No, thank you, Bernie. It's truly a pleasure to sit down with you.